Hi and welcome to Home Education for All, or HEFA for short. At HEFA, we believe that community is the heart of home education, and so that's what we built. We built a community in the UK, helping, supporting and uplifting each other to be the best home educators we can be. And now we're coming to you via this podcast too. Stay tuned for all things home education in the UK via our amazing, experienced, knowledgeable and often hilarious team. We truly believe home education can be for everyone, and we hope listening here will give you the confidence or knowledge you need if you've been considering home education. Let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to HEFA. So this is an interruption of your usual broadcasting and we're doing some bonus episodes. So these bonus episodes are based on information that keeps coming up in group or in the HEFA group on Facebook, and you know, it's warranted enough notice from us as admins that we feel a little podcast on that would be helpful. So in this episode, in the bonus episode that you are listening to, we are talking about deciding to home ed and those first few weeks afterwards. So the first thing I'm going to say is that the advice and information in this podcast relates to England and Wales mainstream school. Okay, and it's important to note that because special schools have a different process. And Scotland and Northern Ireland also have different processes. So when I'm talking about deregistration from mainstream, we're talking about children who may have EHCPs but are in a mainstream school. They might be children who do not have any SEN, or they might be children with SEN who are in maybe an ASD unit, an autism unit or something like that, that is attached to a mainstream school. Those are all mainstream schools. So currently, if your child has an EHCP and they are in a mainstream school, you can deregister as normal in England and Wales. Whereas in special schools, there's a different process. So you have decided to home educate your child and you have sent in the deregistration letter, the instruction to tell the school to deregister your child. What happens next? Well, it's different for all over the country, and it's different for every school, and it's different for every local authority. But the process that should happen, and I say should very loosely because, you know, what should happen and the reality of what happens with a lot of home educators is very different. So what should happen is you send an instruction to deregister your child. The school gets that instruction, removes your child from the register, from the role of the school, and informs the local authority. And that's as simple as it should be. However, what often happens is the school receive a deregistration letter and they then contact the parents to arrange a meeting or to have a phone call, or they want to know information or they want you to fill in forms. And for some really good schools, they will make clear that these things are optional because there is no obligation for you to actually do any of those things. However, a lot of schools are under a lot of pressure from local authorities and higher up to have a really clear understanding of why people are deregistering. And so they are strongly encouraged to arrange meetings with people who are considering home education. Now, that word is really important, considering. So if you are considering home education, you have not deregistered yet. Because a deregistration is a legal instruction to remove your child from the school, at which point there's little point in having meetings and phone calls and trying to find out why and all of those kinds of things, except for data. When you are considering home education, sometimes meetings and phone calls and all of those kinds of things can be helpful. But if you as a parent have made that decision, and by the way, it is your legal right to make that decision, parents are responsible for ensuring that their children receive a suitable education, not the state. So you can choose to opt your child into school to receive that education, or you can provide that education otherwise. It's in law. So home education and school education are equal in law. So all it takes is a deregistration letter. Currently in 2022, all it takes is a deregistration letter, an instruction to the school, which tells the school what they need to do. They need to deregister the child and they need to inform the local authority. When a school does ask you for a meeting or a phone call or for your reasons, it is up to you whether you engage in that process or not. You're not obligated to. You can refuse, and it should not in any way delay the deregistration of your child. Sometimes schools will say things like, there's a 2-week cooling off period, or we have to have a meeting first, or we have these forms that you must fill out first. These are not musts. These are things that schools are being encouraged to get home educators to do, or people who have just deregistered to do. They're being encouraged to do that, and then they're kind of suggesting that you must do those things. There is no legal obligation for you to do any of those things. So you can refuse, and the school cannot refuse a deregistration in the circumstances I'm talking about. In a mainstream school, whether there's an EHCP or not, whether there's SEN or not, whether there's involvement of other services or not, it is the parent's right to deregister their child, and that applies to England and Wales. There are different circumstances and different ways in which it's done for special schools across the UK and also Scotland and Northern Ireland. So you've deregistered, the school has accepted the deregistration without too much fuss, or they've made a fuss and you've said, nope, just do what you're supposed to do. And then you're going to be contacted by the local authority. The local authority will contact you depending on their personal local policies. Some local authorities contact you very, very quickly, and some never contact you. It will depend on the local authority that you live in and the policies that they have, with the budget that they have in place to be able to work with home educators and all of those kinds of things. So everybody is supposed to be guided by the EHE guidelines 2019, but they are guidelines, and local authorities are able to create their own local policies out of those guidelines. There are two types of guidelines: the EHE guidelines 2019 for local authorities, and there's also a different one for parents. We advise that you read both so that you know how they differ, because they do differ slightly in the information they give and how they apply to your responsibilities and local authority duties. So let's talk about what happens to you after you've deregistered. I spoke to several of our admin about this before doing this podcast, and you may not be surprised to know they had a lot to say about it. The things that came up most were things like, don't buy all the things. When you deregister, give yourself and your child time to adjust to this change. And the reason that they talk about that a lot, and we talk about that adjustment period, is because there is a lot that has gone on in the process of your child being in school, you getting to a point of deregistration, and then you starting home education. So the EHE guidelines state that education must happen from day one, and we are not disputing that in any way, shape or form. What we would dispute is the type of education that some local authorities expect to be happening. So when you are a home educator, there is no legal obligation for you to do things like You know, have a timetable, study specific subjects, follow the national curriculum, follow the school day. Any of those things, they apply to schools, not to home educators. You can do those things if you want to, but you don't have to. So one of our admins spoke a lot about, you know, the anxiety, the fear, the anger, the grief during that adjustment period. And it will be different depending on why you've deregistered. But even if, you know, school was really great, but you just feel that it's not right for your child, you will still feel those feelings of grief or those feelings of anxiety of whether you'll be able to do a good enough job. These are all really, really normal emotions. And they're emotions that you're going to be going through and also your children will be going through as well. It's kind of like you've gone from having this routine and structure of getting up every day, getting to school, dropping your children off, picking them back up again, their structure during the school day, all of that suddenly has gone out the window. And even if that structure was one of the reasons that school was a struggle, it's now gone. And there needs to be an understanding that it's going to take time to adjust to that. While we're adjusting to that, doesn't mean that learning and education isn't happening. So there's definitely a feeling of, you know, feeling vulnerable, sometimes feeling worn down, this roller coaster of emotions. Choosing to home educate your child if it isn't your first choice can be really, really, really scary. And there's a huge amount of emotional roller coaster that we as parents go through when we make that decision. And on top of that, your children are going through that as well. So separately, you're both going through this roller coaster of adjustment. And you've also got this worry over the local authority contacting you, what can you expect from them, what are they going to ask of you, all of those kinds of things. One of our admins said something really wonderful, which was that she thinks reading inspirational heifer posts at midnight should be mandatory for new home educators. And I have to say, I agree. When you're having a wobble and you're brand new to home education, get yourself onto those home ed groups where you can read about these kids who are really settled into home education, who might have really struggled in school. Now they're doing amazingly. And when I say doing amazingly, one of the first things that one of our home eders admin team talked about was learning how to measure success differently. So, you know, in school, success is measured by, you know, how many lessons you've completed or how many levels you've gone up and things like that. And in home education, success can end up, you know, the measure of success and the measure of progress can look very different to how it looks in schools. So learning to measure that success of your day can look completely different. And when you're comparing, you know, yourself and your children to other home educators who have been doing it for many years, or school children who are the same age as your child and maybe they're progressing in different ways to your child, but we're seeing that progress as more valid because it's academic, or seen as more educational because it's following a curriculum, can leave you feeling like you don't know what you're doing, that you're stabbing around in the dark and just kind of winging it. Winging it is a completely valid home education style. As long as you're guided by your children and you're encouraging and facilitating and partnering them in a love of learning and a love of growth and development, it doesn't really matter what style of home education you are doing. Finding time for yourself is essential. So when we talk about that change from home ed, from school to home ed, often the time you get to yourself is very, very different. For some of us, we don't get much time to ourselves at all. For example, my husband is gone first thing in the morning before anybody's awake, and he's home most commonly after dinner. So he is not around for a huge amount of the time that the children now spend with me, and have spent with me for nearly 10 years now. Finding that time for yourself is essential. We have a rule in my house that nobody speaks to me unless it's an emergency. And by emergency, I mean, is somebody bleeding? Is somebody in need of an ambulance? Until I've had a cup of tea and a good half an hour has passed in the morning, because I need that time to myself to wake up, to sort through, you know, my own brain, and to have that good start to the day. I deserve a good start to the day, and so do they. So they know that if they do try and speak to me before that half an hour, before I've had that cup of tea and things like that, they're not going to get the best of me, and that's not helpful for anyone. So finding that time for yourself is essential. It can be really difficult, especially if you are a single parent, for example. You might need to find more ingenious ways to have time to yourself. I have a garden, so if my children are stressing me out, I will quite often go out in the garden for a cup of tea, or I'll go and do some gardening in the garden. If I'm not able to get out away from the house because there isn't a suitable adult present, then I will go into the garden, I will go into the bathroom and have a bath or a shower, I will sit in my bedroom and do some reading. In the evening, I make sure that I have time to myself to watch my favourite programmes on telly, to read my favourite books, all of those kinds of things, to do some artwork. I love drawing and painting. Having your own hobbies and keeping your own hobbies is super important when you first start home ed, because you can kind of become enveloped into this role of being everything. And it's tough. It's tough to find that balance, but if you can get those boundaries in place really quickly, it tends to help really balance things out as you go along. There's also often this feeling of having something to prove to others, especially if others are, you know, if you're dealing with opinions of others on home education. You might be dealing with professionals who say that home education isn't best, or you might be dealing with friends and family who don't understand your choice. And what I would say to you is that professionals don't necessarily know anything about home education. They may be a professional in, you know, for example, a teacher, a school teacher may be a professional in education in a school setting. They may not be a expert in autonomous education or in child-led education. They are an expert in educating children in a school system. So of course, their preference is going to be children being in the school system. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what I would kind of ask you to consider is, just because somebody is a professional in some kind of context doesn't mean they're professional in everything, and it doesn't mean that they know your child better than you do. Dealing with the opinions of friends and family can be really tough. All I can suggest is that you keep on referring them to the people who know. So refer them to podcasts, refer them to blogs, refer them to books that have been written. A book that is pretty much suggested on a daily basis in HEFA is Changing Our Minds by Naomi Fisher. Naomi Fisher is an absolutely fantastic resource for parents, a home educator herself and a clinical psychologist. So she knows her stuff. And she's also a home educator. And the information in her book is just essential reading for anyone who thinks that home education is wrong, or thinks that, you know, there's only one way for a child to become educated. I wouldn't get pulled in to try and approve, you know, that home education is better for your child. You know your child. You know whether or not this is the right decision. And you also will have done your research far more than most people who have an opinion on home education. So find time for yourself. Find time to start doing some unlearning and adjusting to the different ways in which learning can happen. And if you are feeling really overwhelmed and really stressed by the lack of routine and the lack of structure, it's okay to implement that structure for you or for your children. A huge amount of people who become unschoolers or autonomous educators come into home education with a very, very clear, very academic structure that mirrors a school-based education. And over time, they settle in and they get to know their child better and their child's learning styles, and they do a little bit more kind of hands-on stuff, and then their child might sort of be encouraging their parent to do more of this or to do more of that. And when you start being led by the child, you start to recognise what's right for them and what isn't. And unschooling is not right for every child. Autonomous education is not right for every child. But for me, a lot of that is down to us as parents and how much unlearning we're willing to do. Because when you think about it, a huge amount of us parents have been through the school system. So we've been through the school system, we've gone on into work or into careers or into whatever it is we've gone into after the education system, and we've then had children, and those education systems we went through are still in place. So we have a huge amount more unlearning to do and unpicking about why we're doing this thing, why we're grabbing a workbook and sort of shoving it in front of the child, even though we know that they don't enjoy that way of learning. The biggest thing is to not beat yourself up about it. If you need that structure and routine and you feel like you don't know what you're doing, and workbooks and, you know, some kind of curriculum that's already designed is best right now, then you do that. It doesn't mean that it's going to stay that way. And it doesn't mean that you're doing anything wrong. This is the thing with home ed, is that there are as many ways to home educate as there are children. And that can be exciting, and you can end up sat in that feeling of elation, of the freedom. But alongside that will be the anxiety of it all being on your shoulders. Because it is all on your shoulders. And what we fail to recognise a lot of the time is that whether our child is in school or whether our child is home educated, it's still all on our shoulders, because it's our responsibility to ensure our child receives an education that is suitable to them, to their age, to their aptitude, to their ability, and to any SEN that they may have. And we can do that by opting into school, or we can do that by educating them otherwise than at school. So yeah, those are just some of the things that came out of the conversation with our admin team when we were thinking about, you know, those first few weeks. So the bullet points, the takeaways are: it's completely normal to have anxiety, fear, anger, grief, excitement, feeling terrified. All of those feelings are completely normal, and be gentle with yourself as you go through that period of adjustment, both for you and for your children. Try not to buy all the things. Try not to sign up to all of the subscriptions. Most subscriptions have a trial period for you to try out a learning resource, and you know, try out lots of them. If that's the way you want to go with the education you're providing, try out lots of the subscriptions before you kind of settle on one. And don't be afraid. Most of them have a month by month subscription rather than a tie in to sort of 12 months or something like that. We definitely would not recommend signing up to anything that is a long subscription that ties you into something for, you know, 6 or 12 months or 2 years at the very beginning of your home education. get to know your child again, get to know the way in which they learn, get to know what their interests are, get to know how it is that they learn best, because that's the beauty of home ed, is that you can tailor that education exactly to the child you have in front of you. Feeling vulnerable and feeling worn down and that roller coaster of emotions is completely normal. If you are feeling that way, pop a post into Heifer and you have 16,000 people who are going to jump straight to support you. Read inspirational posts on Heifer in the middle of the night when you are stressing and you can't sleep because you feel like you've made the wrong decision and you've destroyed your child's life and all of those kinds of things. By the way, it doesn't matter how long you've been home edding for, you will have moments where those kinds of feelings come up. Find that time for yourself. Do try and keep your hobbies or your interests for you. Don't try and turn your hobbies and interests into things that you could do with the kids. It's a surefire way of destroying what you love and destroying the kids' interest in stuff, because they're like, okay, but that's what you like, Mum. That's not what I like. But don't disclude them either. I love painting and I love drawing. And I have an absolute love relationship with phonology wheels. And while I'm doing my phonology wheels, because I like them, quite often my children will come along and go, oh, yeah, I haven't done anything on mine for a while, actually. And they'll get theirs out. But there's no obligation for them to do that. I'm doing what I love and I enjoy, and I'm modelling that to my children, and they will either come along and do that too, or they might use that as inspiration and go, oh, you know, actually, I've been meaning to do that thing, which I keep not making time for. I'm going to go and do that now, because, you know, following what I enjoy is really important to me, right? Try not to buy into the opinions of others. Brené Brown is a wonderful inspirational speaker, and quite often I use her analogy of the cheap seats. If people have, you know, done what you're doing, their opinion is more valid than someone who has bought the cheap seats at the back of the theatre to then sit and whinge about the stuff that you're doing up on stage, when there is no way on this earth that you would ever see them up on that stage. You've taken centre stage in your children's education, and you're the one doing it from that centre stage. So if there are other people up on that stage because they're doing the same kinds of things, they're home educating their kids as well, or have home educated their kids, then yeah, those opinions might be valid. Doesn't mean that they're all right and they're correct, but they might be valid. But for the rest of the people who have an opinion but have never done what you're doing, they're the cheap seats. We don't pay attention to the cheap seats, yeah? Okay, so that is it for our bonus episode on those first few weeks. Lots of information. Do have a look in the Heifer group if you're not already in there. We have guides on absolutely everything you can think of. Everything you can think of. And if there's something in that you're wanting to know and it's not in the guides, you can ask us and we will create one, because we are a group of home educators who are the supporting other home educators to feel confident and secure in their home ed journey. That's what we do at Heifer, home education for all. You can find us on all of the social apps. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter. We have a website, Home Education for All, and we are on all of your favorite podcast platforms as well. So until next time, we will see you soon, and take care.